43 degrees now. KQEN News Time is 12:35.
This is Inside Douglas County on News Radio 1240 KQEN. It's our daily in-depth look at people and issues that are shaping Douglas County. Inside Douglas County is presented by Concrete Builders Supply. Now, Inside Douglas County on News Radio 1240 KQEN.
Afternoon today, a program we originally had scheduled for yesterday and moved it to today following our need to cover national events wall-to-wall in the noon hour yesterday. Tom Sorrells is the clinical director at ADAPT, overseeing ADAPT Substance Use Treatment and Recovery Services for Youth and Adults. Tom, thanks for being on this afternoon.
Thanks, Kyle. It's great to talk with you again.
Well, we talked back in the spring at one point, and one of the things that is clear from this past 9-10 months when we've dealt with COVID-19 and a lot of other unrest and in lots of different ways is its impact on people's mental health and also on substance abuse, or as it's now called, substance use, and dealing with that situation. I saw a statistic yesterday morning, came in my inbox, and I meant to print it before we came on, so I don't have the exact number in front of me, but in 2020, the sales of hard liquor, this is nationally, went up 33%.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, it sort of sounds intuitive, doesn't it? It's not necessarily very shocking to hear that. And it's, a lot of what makes someone at risk for substance abuse and addiction is trauma of the kind that we've all sort of been experiencing over the last long 9 or 10 months that, since this pandemic began. And, mental health disorders and substance abuse are really closely linked together, and they both have, a lot of good research shows origins and trauma or stressful events that folks are just not necessarily prepared or equipped to cope with. And we know that from lots and lots of research. And, the impact of trauma for most folks is really profound in early life when someone's going through, fragile developmental stages and so on. But, when someone's exposed to unmanageable stress in their life at whatever age they are, they're probably at some increased risk for addiction and other behavioral health problems. So I don't have any trouble believing that that what we've all experienced in the last years is certainly led to an increase in those problems.
And it seems like COVID-19 and all these other things have widened the scope of those impacted. People who had, great lives, great incomes, no family problems, no addiction problems, all of that. Even if you had the picture perfect life, this year added stress like never before.
Right. Well, even a mild disruption to someone's, routine has effects that aren't always positive. And when you have massive disruption, of course, people who are already kind of precariously placed, or they have an existing mental health concern, or maybe they're just prone to or at risk for addiction or other dangerous behaviors. They're going to feel that impact even more profoundly. And it just sort of goes on like that in a cycle where folks are continually subjected to stress. They look out for ways to feel safe and to soothe the symptoms of their anxiety that's caused by that stress. And they look in the place that's the easiest to find, alcohol or some other solution to temporarily mitigate those symptoms, and the problems just begin to get worse. So I think, over 2020, we've just seen a lot of cycles like that. People are disconnected, isolated. They're having lots of unpredictability in their environment. They have fear, anxiety, even about their physical health in the face of a, major pandemic. And it just increases the risk of depression and loneliness and anxiety about the future. And it's a really toxic kind of combination there of world events that just it has to have an enormous impact.
As we began 2020, we had a robust economy. We had a lot of things that were looking really good. Unemployment was way down, and a lot of data like that. And so a lot of people, if you did New Year's resolutions, a lot of people had all these grandiose plans, and maybe this is the year you go on a big trip, you go to Disneyland, you do all of that. And people went from, planning to thrive last year to looking around now and trying to just survive.
Yeah, it's very sad. I mean, there has been a terrific downturn in the economy as a result of the pandemic, and also our inability to manage the pandemic on a national scale. You know, it's just been a little bit of a confusing response to it, but for whatever reason, we know the influence of economic insecurity on rates of addiction and mental health problems is, very well established for pretty obvious reasons. And people find themselves struggling with addiction or mental health because, they lost their job or their home or their savings, as you rightly point out. So it's going to have an effect. And I think you also have to remember, Kyle, that the pandemic, didn't just disrupt the economy, but absolutely everything. Any sense of normality has pretty much gone out the window for many of us, or most of us. And someone, even in the best of times, who might live in precarious circumstances or at risk in some way, dealing with that disruption can be really challenging. And in fact, the collateral problems from these kinds of big events that just exceed what folks are capable of handling, it means that finding help or support to deal with that stuff can seem more difficult. And it can just lead to more problems in one's behavior and mental health. But I think just one last point I can think of too that's relevant here is that the society is just sort of going through almost a collective kind of traumatic reaction to this stuff. As you and I were discussing a little bit before we went on air, we now have around 350,000 folks dead in the U.S., which is higher than all Americans killed in all 4 years of World War II, and that is really astounding. And I don't think anyone can even, begin to calculate the effect on a society from such a tremendous loss in so short a time. I think many are grieving, lost loved ones, or they're traumatized by the size of the loss and the fear that accompanies those kinds of numbers. So people are just shocked and distressed, and it comes out in behavior.
What about the sort of the mental health component, even if the rest of your life is still COVID-ing, is that even a word? going along okay, you've got the stress, but maybe you've got a job, you're getting a full paycheck, you're in a good place financially and all of that. But then you look around your circle of friends. I heard somebody in the last day mention knowing six people who have died of COVID, and that was just shocking. I have no idea, what the relationships were or anything more about that, but just the fact that they mentioned that. It seems like for some people, the stress of COVID or COVID around them or even making sure they keep their personal bubbles so that they have the least potential risk to getting COVID, like that's its own form of stress.
Yeah, it definitely is. I mean, when we talk, and I use the term trauma a whole lot, you'll have to forgive me. That's one of my areas of specialization in mental health practice. And we know a lot from research like the famous Adverse Childhood Experiences study and others, that trauma is just so related to so many of the problems we're discussing. And I feel like this is an instance of trauma. But when we talk about that word, it really is another way of saying that someone is experiencing events that just they really do exceed their ability to cope. They're unmanageable. They're overwhelming. And one of the core issues with trauma that you're touching on there is just the idea of safety. It's just an undeniable, almost a biological human need to feel safe and supported and nurtured. And folks who lack that security, or even if there's a perception that they don't have that security, they'll be desperate to look for a way to get it. And the more unsafe and anxious they feel, the more desperate that search will become. And sometimes looking for safety and security paradoxically can result in some unsafe behaviors. And I think Right now, we are just seeing an onslaught of every stressful event and substance abuse trigger you can possibly think of in sort of a perfect storm. I mean, increased loneliness, sometimes from safety measures that we do need to take and rightfully should be taking to keep everyone safe. Anxiety about the future, economic uncertainty, as we've said, bereavement, fear for one's health and safety, and just the disruption of self-care routines, things that people do to keep them healthy and happy, going to the gym or your local place of worship or any of those things. They're all kind of out the window. And you mentioned a moment ago, vacations and so on. So these are all major issues and triggers for lots of behavioral problems. And they're all out there in society at one time in a very pronounced way due to the pandemic.
I know one of the things I've tried to do kind of from the mental health side and really also physical fitness as well, is do a lot of Sunday long walks where I just am able to go out and go all over the community and don't take my phone and all of that. For me, that's been real helpful. But one of the other things that I've noticed is sort of striking. I mean, normally I'm in a job where I'm around a lot of people. Most of my interviews now are on the telephone. There's a lot of folks that I haven't seen in months. And sometimes just going out walking several miles, you happen across somebody in their yard that you didn't even know that was where they lived. And it was like, you realize, I haven't seen them in 9 months.
Right. Well, they're unintended or unpredictable positive effects of even, kind of the worst experiences. And I think that's part of, we talk about a mental health reset, sort of. I think that's one of those things that we can do. We can look, it might sound a little bit trite or obvious, but, we can look for those things that are positive in our experience. Even when it doesn't seem like the experience as a whole is very positive. I mean, it often sounds, like you're just asking someone to look on the bright side and it doesn't have a lot of effect. But I think it really is, there's a deep truth there to developing the capacity for gratitude and seeing what's working in your life as opposed to what's not. It's a really powerful tool, I think, against anxiety and depression. And it doesn't come easily for everyone without practice and even some level of skill, which is one reason why, treatment sometimes is very helpful. But it's certainly something that almost anyone can understand and begin to work on in times like this to feel a little bit better, even when the world seems to, in some ways, be falling apart around you.
Tom Sorrells, the Clinical Director for ADAPT. More when we come back. The interview will be a podcast after one at 541radio.com. On Inside Douglas County, it's 1248 at News Radio 1240 KQEN. Douglas County, 1250, Lars Larson coming at 1 on tomorrow's program. Superintendent Jared Corden of Roseburg Public Schools will go in depth about the district's decision, maybe the board last night, to reopen classes beginning on January 25th, and we'll dial through all the things that are involved in the process and some of the specifics parents, grandparents, and others need to know about that. Tom Sorrells is the clinical director of ADAPT. Tom, what about some specifics here in terms of issues that providers are grappling with to provide care for patients that are suffering from either mental health or substance use disorders during the pandemic, or maybe both?
Yeah, I think, there are always barriers to access for clients and for providers getting the resources out to clients. And I obviously, again, emergencies, large historic events like this just disrupt everything, and that's no exception. So barriers do become a little pronounced in situations like this, things like transportation, housing. And these problems are, they have an effect on treatment outcomes, whether someone can safely and securely establish themselves in recovery. And when you superimpose all the other things on top of it, they become a little more pronounced. And we've worked hard at ADAPT to overcome those. I think we talked last time, you and I, about telehealth and other measures that we've put in place to compensate for those issues. But I think, you know, you are also getting at something that's even a little more subtle there and sometimes a little hidden, but it's a real, you know, issue for mental health providers during this time, and that's the state of their own mental health. It's kind of easy to forget that doctors get sick and, you know, accountants have tax problems and mechanics have car trouble and all that, and mental health providers can and do have mental health concerns, even, severe ones. But in some ways, they're also more susceptible to anxiety and depression and stress-related problems than, maybe the general workforce, just due to the kind of the highly stressful nature of the work. And those in social services or the helping fields like mental health and substance abuse, they just aren't immune to all the problems we just discussed about the pandemic, this COVID fatigue, for lack of a better term, and all the other stressors coming their way. That takes a toll. So I know at ADAPT we take that very seriously, and the notion of self-care is incredibly important to us, and we encourage our employees to attend to their health and well-being so we can be there, you know, for the terribly vulnerable and struggling and distressed populations that we serve.
When we get past COVID, one of the things that's a positive is all the technology that's available and that people have, in many cases, learned to use now that can really revolutionize mm-hmm. some of the things they can do. But what about the flip side? I mean, whether it's an individual counseling session you might do or a recovery group, AA group, et cetera, meeting, things like that, there's something that seems like it would be hard to replicate from not being in the same room with someone or being able to, you know, if someone's distressed, just touch them on the shoulder and comfort them. I mean, it's hard to do all of that on Zoom or some other platform.
Oh, you better believe it. It's a challenge, and it's almost starting over in some ways with a newly learned skill set, or learning how to adapt your traditional counseling skill set to this new environment. And, you know, so much of counseling is just about listening and paying attention to nonverbal cues and body language and behavior in the room with someone. And that's, good counselors learn over long experience to take those things very seriously and notice them, pay attention to them and respond to them. And even when you can see someone's face on the screen there in a Zoom session, even worse, just a disembodied voice on the phone, of course, it is hard to take those things into account in the same way. But I still think that the treatment remains very, very effective in the telehealth sphere. As I say, we're learning all the time about ways to make that more a better experience for counselors and clients, and to make it more effective and to increase the positive outcomes that we have with it. And, we joke around here all the time, and we're going to get to be real experts with this pretty soon, and then we won't need it as much. But that will be a good day. I mean, that won't be a bad problem to have.
Well, and with the technology, whether you're on Zoom with someone from two blocks away, I actually did one interview with someone literally across the street at one point. There's that ability there, but it also opens up things like, I would imagine for you and for other staff, training opportunities, maybe where you're dealing with mm-hmm. folks in other parts of the country, maybe even the world, whereas, you know, before mm-hmm. the budget wouldn't have been there to jump on a plane and travel across the country to be part of a one-day event.
Yeah, it's opened up a lot of things. I mean, we as you say, we can have lots of positive sorts of, engagement with our partners in the community and from all over. I'm on meetings all the time with people scattered around the state, even the country, and, you know, I can write a federal grant or something and have just immediate access to folks in the federal government who can help me with that, and so can our team. And, before it would just be kind of a tedious, long phone discussion or email exchange or something like that. And you're right, for providers and, folks who are trying to get services to vulnerable populations and thinking of new ways to collaborate with other institutions and community partners in doing that, it's been a huge positive experience. But I think you're right. You know, the downside there is that it's not quite as we would all like it to be in the sphere of treatment itself. But it's just like anything. And, you know, we have positive and negative sides to this. And we really are just now trying our best to be in the business of accentuating and emphasizing everything positive that we can find in this situation and take advantage of new resources and technologies.
What tips can you give to people that are living with substance use or mental health disorders as they kind of reset for this new year?
Well, just a couple of things I think are most important and come to mind first. And one, I think with regard to the pandemic, sometimes it's helpful just to acknowledge the reality that we can engage in some hope now. This is a temporary situation, and it's been hard to believe that over the course of the last long, very distressing year. But fortunately, now we have a pretty definitive resolution to it. At least at some point, that will you know take place because we have safe, effective, FDA-approved vaccines that will be widely available in the new year, and that will have the eventual effect. I think everyone agrees of dissipating the crisis and returning us all to something like normal again. So one good thing to do is just hang on to that and believe the science that's out there and understand that will have the effect of getting us all on some sure footing again. And just for folks who are suffering, though, I think it's a matter of really recognizing your suffering and what you can do to get help. First, just assessing it, asking yourself really important questions. Am I getting enough sleep, sleeping too much, eating right, able to focus, concentrate? And then reaching out for help when you find those answers aren't satisfactory.
Tom Sorrell is Clinical Director at ADAPT. Tom, thanks for being on this afternoon.
Thank you so much, Kyle. It was great talking with you again.
1258 News Radio 1240 KQEN.
You've been listening to Inside Douglas County on News Radio 1240 KQEN. A daily look at the people and issues that are shaping Douglas County. The show will be available as a podcast in just a few minutes at 541radio.com. So share it and let others who weren't listening live know about today's show. Inside Douglas County is a public affairs presentation of Brook Communications. Your home for Douglas County's news team. News Radio 1240 KQEN.